Welcome to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 33, and before we begin reading with verse 14, I want to remind you what's been happening. If you'll remember in verse 7 that Moses had gone out to the tent, remember, and there the cloud had descended, and the people saw the cloud, and Moses was speaking to the Lord face to face as a man speaks to a friend. And in verse 12, if you'll remember, he was asking the Lord, he said, "You tell me to lead these people, but you've not told me whom you're going to send with me." In other words, he knew the command, but he wasn't quite sure. He also knew and recognized he needed a leader. And so he was asking, who's going to lead the leader if I found grace in your sight? You know, look at verse 13. He said, "Reveal to me your way. Show me now the way." I circle that in my Bible. Show me now the way. We can receive direction from the Lord in that we can be given instruction. Heather, I want you to go over here and speak. Well, it then becomes my job. Lord, show me the way. How do you want me to get there? When I get there, what is it that you want me to say so that I represent you well? You understand? So in that, I see the heart of Moses. Show me your way. Lord, show me. He wanted to know his way. Y'all, we're going to see a difference in this because Moses knew the way of God. The people didn't know the way. They saw his works. What do you want to know? Do you want to know his way, or do you just want to see his works? A lot of people just want to see his works. They want to see the manifestation. They want to see the excitement. But they don't want to see and know the way. You know why? Because when you know the way and you see the way, most of the time that deal, you have to make a change in your heart. And everything that he says, his way is contrary to the flesh. You understand? His ways are contrary to what this natural body says.
You know, so often people mistake, I think, in this day and time anyway, the works of God. They think if they see the works of God, they know the ways of God. And, you know, we see this, we see this, we see that. And they think that's the way of God. When in reality, obviously that's not true. I mean, you look at there in Psalm 103, I think it is, where it talks about how Moses knew his way and the Israelites knew his acts. And I think about the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus specifically. How he said he never operated independently of God. I always do what I see my Father do. I make my judgments, my decisions by what I hear. Now this is the ways of God, okay? There's a difference between just, you know, laying hands on people, doing this and doing that. That's so popular in ministry, and don't misunderstand me. There's a place for it, okay? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't take the place of the ways of God. How would God do this? For instance, Jesus in his healings and miracles, you'll find that he did it in various ways. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think he did that just to draw attention to himself. But you understand, we have an adversary, we have an enemy. He has a strategy. God has a better strategy. God knows what a person can receive. God knows that you don't minister to every person the same way. And then there's demands that God makes to where the person has to act on their faith. And to know the ways of God, this is going to come down to being led by the Spirit of God. You won't know the ways of God aside from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If we can read in the Word, we can get information in the Word, and we can learn how God operated here, how God operates there. And this assists us, but the key is to be led by the Spirit. It's not just an education. It's experience. Moses experienced God. He got in the presence of God. He talked to God. God talked to him. This is how you learn a person. You communicate with a person. And communication is not monologue, it's dialogue. It's to where you're exchanging. And Heather and I were talking, we were reading there where Moses is talking to God, especially after the Israelites have, made their idol and doing all their crazy stuff because of it, and how bold Moses was with his encounter with the Lord. I mean, you're talking about a friend talking to a friend. A lot of people today, I dare not say that. He knew the ways of God. Why? Because he hung out with God, if I can say it that way. Moses didn't just have one experience or two experiences on Sinai. Moses lived in the presence of God. And that's what the Lord is wanting us to do, is live in the presence of God. That's how you know the ways of God. And if you know the ways of God, then your attention won't be on the works per se. That can draw attention to you. And this is what I'm seeing today. People that are doing the works, a lot of them are the dramatists. They make a drama out of ministry, drawing attention to themselves. And to me, it's like they're playing and toying with the gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Ministry is not a parade ground. It's not a place to show off. It's a place to obey God and to be led by the Spirit of God to do what God wants. And if you're just interested in works, you're probably not going to do the works God's way. And I want to show you this. I've mentioned it many times. In Matthew chapter 7, they did works. Cast out devils. They prophesied. They done many miracles. They did phenomenal things. And Jesus says, I never knew you. I never knew you. You knew the works. You didn't know my ways. And he could have said that with the Israelites. You knew my works. You didn't know my ways. I don't know. As a matter of fact, if it hadn't been for Moses, you wouldn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important to know the ways of God. How does God operate? How does God think? How does God talk? And I mean, you have to stay on top of that all the time. Because sometimes, I might not be talking like the Lord. I might not be thinking like the Lord. You know what the result is? You're not going to act like the Lord. So we have to consciously make ourselves aware of the presence of God. Would the Lord say what I'm saying? Would the Lord be thinking what I'm thinking? It's a discipline.
When you know the ways of somebody, you know their heart. We're getting ready to see how the Lord reveals himself to Moses, and he identifies himself. He says, I'm merciful, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. That's his character. That's who he is. And because that's who he is, that affects the ways, you understand. I think about just this natural example. For instance, I'm going to use you as an example. You would be amazed how many people come and ask, "What? You go tell Pete this. I don't want to tell him that. You go tell Pete this. I don't want to." They see his acts. They don't know his ways. I know the ways. I subject myself to know the ways, so I know the heart, so I know the response. You don't need to be scared of this man. That's crazy. When I subject myself to God, to find out who he is, to see his heart and character revealed in this word, I know his ways. I can learn his ways.
I want to show you something about the way of God that's absolutely incredible to me. I was just reading, I think, a day or two ago in this area where Elijah, you know, confronts Ahab because Ahab is indirectly had Naboth killed through Jezebel, okay, and takes his property away from him, is what it boils down to. And Elijah confronts Ahab for what he's done, and he tells him what's going to happen. I mean, but he pronounces judgment on him by the word of the Lord. And Ahab humbled himself. And God sent Elijah to him and said, tell him that this won't happen in his life. It's going to happen to his seed. I thought, man, you're talking about mercy. Here is a wicked, wicked king. But because he humbled himself, God executed judgment in mercy. And that's the thing that you have to learn about God. That's not our way. Well, get them, sick them, you know, vengeance. I mean, man, they did it. Bring the hammer down on them.
Yeah.
And God doesn't work that way. And that, to me, is absolutely incredible how someone this wicked who could lead a whole nation away from God, and yet because of one incident and humbling himself, God had mercy on him. It's amazing. Just like a thief on the cross, Jesus had mercy on him.
Today.
That's the ways of God. Don't wonder Isaiah, God saying, my ways are higher than yours. We have to learn his ways because they are superior to the way we do things. We have to learn to do things God's way.
And he's not elusive in the sense of we can't learn his ways. When we seek him, we're going to find him, right?
Yeah.
When we ask, he'll answer us. We just have to be persistent and keep knocking, right? That's up to us.
The key's seeking.
Yeah.
And diligently. Mm-hmm. That's who he rewards. Mm-hmm. Those who diligently seek him.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 14?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And he said, so this is the Lord answering Moses' request, right? He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest.
Which verse was that?
14, letter N.
So I'm going to go back up here.
Okay, yes, sir.
You know, you're looking at verse 12, which I know Heather read. And but here's the thing. Moses says that God has said to him, I personally know ye, and I found grace in your sight. Moses is saying, he's saying this to God. You know me,
mm-hmm.
and I have grace in your sight. You've told me that. Now, so, I mean, that's a pretty good statement, you know, with your creator.
Yeah.
And then he said, if I found grace. You said I found grace. If I found grace,
yeah,
then reveal your way.
Yeah.
Okay? And then let me know that I found grace in your sight. And here's how he's going to do that. Here's how I'll know I have grace in your sight. Just consider the nation of Israel, your people.
Mm.
You think about that. That's not selfish at all. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with him personally. This is how I'll know that I have grace in your sight. If instead of rejecting these people, you give grace to them. You understand? That you will identify with the nation of Israel as their God. God honors that.
Yeah.
It's really incredible when you think about it. And so the Lord, he said, all right, my presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. And I like Moses' reply on this, because, man, that's the cry of my heart. And you want to read it before I jump ahead of you?
And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth.
So God says, my presence will go with you. Moses says, if your presence...
Yeah.
Doesn't go with me. I don't want to leave this place. I don't want to go where your presence is not. And then he goes on to say that here, by you going with us, then I'll know that we found grace in your sight. Talking about the nation of Israel. You go with us, and that's how I know I have grace in your sight. And your presence is going to make us distinctly different than any other nation. I'm telling you, it's the presence of God that makes a person distinctly different than those around him. And I'm telling you, you know, here in this day and time, it's hard to find people that are so distinctly different from the world that they stand out to you. You understand? Because you take the average church attender, they just blend in with the world and you don't know the difference. And God's wanting a people so distinctly different. And the only thing that can cause this is walking in the presence of God, living in the presence of God. And what will happen is that will emanate from you. Where people, they may not be able to identify by name, but they'll say there's something different. What is it that's different about you? And it just opened the door for you to tell them, well, I mean, just the goodness of God. The Lord's been so merciful to me, and I just love the Lord. I guess that's the difference. You understand? It's identifying mark with you. You follow me? I was just looking at in Daniel today, there to three Hebrew children, and how everybody, all these officials, everyone that came to that statue, idol that Nebuchadnezzar had set up and commanded that they bow down and worship, all but three bowed down. Now here's three that stand out in a crowd. You understand? They are distinctly different than anybody else. What made them different? Their loyalty to their God. They were more interested in their God than they were their physical bodies. Position didn't matter. You understand? not following the decree of the king didn't matter. And it made them stand out in a nation. And the end result of that was a decree was made, you'd better not criticize these men's God. That's a real capsulized statement, okay? But through the supernatural deliverance of the three Hebrew children, you understand? They stood out in the crowd. Daniel stood out in the crowd. David stood out in the crowd. You look at these people. Moses stood out in the crowd. Joshua stood out in the crowd. You look at these men of God in the Bible. They stood out in the crowd because they walked with God. They were obedient to God. They were loyal to God. And I'm going to tell you, when you walk with God, you will be different than anybody around you. So dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a three Hebrew children, whomever. Get such a passion for God that the world doesn't matter to you. God matters.
I think about Ruth as we're talking about this. Remember what she said to Naomi? To me, that's a heart cry for me to the Lord. Where you go, I go. I don't want to be separated from you. Your God will be my God. Your father is now my father too. Your people, they're my people too. I'm now part of your family. Thank you, Jesus. So distinctly different. She was so distinctly different.
You know, when I first started in ministry and was in a denomination at that time, the thing that I saw early on was ministers were seeking a popularity, seeking approval, seeking acceptance from everybody but God. And it turned me off. I mean, it absolutely turned me off to ministry. I thought, does anybody in here care what God thinks? Is everybody a politician? I'm telling you, we're going to have to get our minds in the heavenlies and out of the earth and stop caring about what people think and start caring what God thinks. Then we'll start doing things God's way, which will make us distinctly different from everybody around us. I mean, how do you think Moses was different? Why? He spent time with the Lord. Not different to be different, but because of his dedication to the Lord, it made him different. And you understand, it didn't make him popular. I mean, the people he was leading talked about killing him. Think about it. And so do you want to be distinctly different for the Lord? Then you have to die to self. Or self doesn't matter. What people say about you doesn't matter. You understand? It's what God says about you that matters. So, when he invites you to come into his presence, come into his presence. Set up your tent of congregation. You know, listen, I'm going to go meet the Lord. I look forward to getting here every morning just to spend time alone with the Lord. I look forward to it. And usually I'm talking before I get here. Most of the time. Okay? Why? I don't know. I can't explain it to you. I wish osmosis would take place. I wish it's contagious to where you could just zap people and they all of a sudden have a passion for the Lord. Only thing I know is that it came through revelation, and the revelation came through desire, a desire to know Him. A desire to know Him. Not ministry. Him. I want to know Him. And I'm not infatuated or intrigued with all these mighty ministries. I want to know Him. I want to know His way. If He calls me to one Ethiopian eunuch, then that's where I want to be. Not preaching to millions, but where God wants me to be. You understand?
Amen.
Okay. Now you know how to feel.
Yes, sir. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name.
So, the Lord, the way I would say this is the Lord honors His request. He honored Moses' request. He knew him by name. I know we can sing the song, He Knows My Name. But do you know that He does? Do you have that confidence that God knows who you are, not because of position, not because of prestige, but because of spending time with Him? I know Him. So this is what He said about Abraham. I know Him. Not just His name. He gave Him the name. But I know Him. You understand? I know what He'll do. I know His dedication to me is the essence of it. God knew that with Moses. And so He knew Moses by name. He knew the heart of Moses. And then Moses knew by God honoring his request that he had grace in the sight of the Lord. And a lot of people will talk it, but they don't know it. They don't know it. They have a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. And it's got to get out of the head to the heart. Many people have a head salvation, not a heart salvation. And it's a deception. Just because you mentally assent to something doesn't mean that you have a transformed life on the inside. It doesn't mean your nature changed. You follow me? And we must have a nature change, or we can't get into that presence of God. I was thinking about this with Moses, where God says, you can't see my face. And Leo, and I said to Heather, flesh can't see the face of God. It will consume the flesh. The flesh can't stand in the presence of God. But by the Spirit. You understand? God is Spirit. So how do you see God? By the Spirit. You think about how a person just ministered to and the power of God, and they can't even stand up under the power of God. What if God just worked at them? I mean, boom, they gone.
Yeah.
Our God's a consuming fire.
Yeah.
Consuming what's not right.
Yeah.
You understand? And so He's purifying. What's that? Getting rid of the flesh to the Spirit. To where if we're going to have an encounter with God, it will be by the Spirit. It won't be naturally. And people are looking for natural encounters with God. My encounters with God have been by the Spirit. No, I haven't been caught up in heaven, and I haven't seen visions, and I haven't been like Paul. But I can promise you one thing, I have been in the presence of God many times. That is absolutely awe-striking. It's a fearful and wonderful thing at the same time. Flesh was afraid to open its eyes. You understand? Knowing. Now, I want you to know Him. I want to know Him. Paul, even in his later years, says that I may know Him. I may know Him. Now, here's a guy been caught up into heaven, revelations and all that, but he realized he only knew a fraction. You'll not exhaust all the knowledge of God. I mean, He's too big. But you can know more about Him. You can know more about His ways. You understand? And that's what we're striving for. And that's what we want people to do. But they're more caught up in the ways of the world. Heather's going to give you an illustration here. We've been discussing this. Just give you an illustration of this thing. To try to make it come alive to you. You know, who do you hang out with? It'll show. What do you subject yourself to? It'll show. You understand? What kind of environment did you set? It'll show.
I want to go back to this, he knew his name. Speaking of being caught up in the ways of the world, you know, God Himself knows our name. But how many times do people want to introduce themselves to other people? I'm Prophet so-and-so. I'm Apostle so-and-so. You may call me Reverend so-and-so. I've had that spoken to me. No, I'm Pastor so-and-so.
Sick on your stomach.
You see what I'm saying? He knew his name. Of course he knew his title because he put him as the overseer. He knew who he was. But we can get so caught up in flesh sometimes that we miss it. Everything of the Lord, anything that we receive of the Lord, it's spirit, right? It's spiritual. Yes, it may manifest in the flesh, thankfully. But God is spirit. He knows our name. Something, isn't it? Okay. Verse 18. And I'm going to read a little bit here. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, that thou shalt see my back parts, and my face shall not be seen.
So Moses asked the Lord, now the King James Version says glory. I want you to think about this, and I said this to Heather, I use this a different way, the word, okay? Glory, the glory of the Lord came on the tabernacle. He go out there in the tabernacle congregation, the cloud glory came down, the glory. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were seeing the glory of the Lord mm-hmm. on a regular basis.
That's right.
Moses saw the glory of the Lord a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I would translate this is Moses is saying, show me your splendor. I want to see that magnificence. I want to see that beauty of you. Now, which fits the context where the Lord said, all right, my goodness will cross over before you and proclaim the name of the Lord. I'll be gracious and show compassion to whom I choose. However, you cannot see my face.
Mm-hmm.
What's he wanting to see? I want to see this splendid God that I serve. God says, you can't see my face. And no man can see his face and live. There is a place in a cliff near me where you can stand. Jesus. You understand? This is pointing to Jesus.
Yeah.
He said, I'll place my hand over you, and I'll remove my hand from you and allow you to see my backside. You won't see Jesus without going through Jesus. I mean, you won't see Father God without going through Jesus. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go through Jesus by the Spirit.
Yeah.
You with me? God is Spirit. Jesus is Spirit. How many of you know He's seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father God? Okay? That's how we know Him. But the Lord allowed that natural man to see Him as He was walking away, to see His form as He was walking away. I don't know any other man that that's happened to. Not in that capacity, you understand? I know Nebuchadnezzar saw the form of the Son of God. Moses saw the actual form of God. That's why nobody liked him. You understand? The mercy, the grace of God. Now, that was a splendid experience for Moses. What do you think? Yeah. Time's up, so we're going to have to stop here and take a break. And you're